Welcome to Words of Inspiration with Reverend James T. Brown, Jr., the lead pastor of Tabernacle of Worship. Let's join today's message in progress.
Family, today we're continuing in our series, Storm Chasers. Storm Chasers. We're continuing in our series, and we're still in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, and I want you to actually look with me at chapter 4. The book of Esther, chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Esther 4 and 11. And here the word of God reads, it says, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. We're speaking again from the subject, Could It Be Your Time? Could It Be Your Time? Part 2. Part 2 is what we're looking at today. And as we mine through this passage, we're reminded of the situation that the Jews find themselves in. Haman, the newly appointed prime minister, had asked King Ahasuerus to sign a decree to have all of the king, have all the Jews killed in his kingdom due to them not following his laws, when in actuality, it was because of his hatred for Mordecai, because he would not bow down in obeisance to him. King Ahasuerus gave his signet ring to Haman so that he could seal the decree and have it read throughout the kingdom. Mordecai received word of this action and tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and cried out bitterly in the midst of the city because of this which was going on. This brings us to an important person in the midst of this terrifying story, none other than Queen Esther. Unbeknownst to King Ahasuerus, Esther, whose Hebrew name was Hadassah, was the adopted cousin of Mordecai, who had been orphaned as a child. Mordecai raised her as his own daughter. He instructed her to conceal her ethnicity from everyone. In doing so, she gained favor with the king, and he chose her as his queen. He chose her to be his queen. But before we dive into our passage, we have to recognize that there are actually two storms that are converging in this account of this experience. There are two storms that are converging at the same time. The first storm is the storm of wrath from Haman. This is the first storm, the storm of wrath from Haman. Again, he's an Agagite coming from the lineage of King Agag, who of course had hatred and bitterness toward the Israelites. And this bore in his spirit, especially when he felt disrespected by Mordecai. The second storm, is the storm of apathy. The storm of apathy from King Ahasuerus. That even though he received word from his prime minister that an entire people should be extinguished, it did not even cause him to flinch because he had apathy in his heart. He was apathetic toward the situation. These are the two storms that we're looking at. Now, a question comes to mind. What happens when two storms strike at the same time? What happens when two storms strike at the same time? Is this even possible? Well, there is such a thing as two storm systems colliding. It's known as the Fujiwara effect. The Fujiwara effect. It was named after the Japanese meteorologist from more than 100 years ago that discovered this phenomena. He actually discovered it and they named it after him. How does this work? So when two storms come in contact with each other, if they are of similar size and strength, they simply swing around each other. It's almost like a dance that they do over the ocean together. And as they do that, they're spinning and eventually spin apart from each other, going on their own separate paths. But then if one is larger than the other, if one storm is larger than the other, the larger storm tends to consume the smaller storm, and then it spins into a new path of destruction that will be caused. And this is what brings us to our text for today. Look again with me at verse number 11. Again, verse 11, it says this: all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know, this is Queen Esther who is penning this response to Mordecai, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Here she's responding to Mordecai, who sent a message unto her. He sent a message unto her from Hatach, which was a chamberlain of the king. And he was going and letting Esther know what Mordecai had said. And Mordecai was letting her know, listen, you got to understand that they have this decree out now that everybody, all of the Israelites will be killed. They're going to be murdered. I need you to go and speak to the king on behalf of your people. I need you to do this, Esther. If you don't, everything may be lost. And in response to that is when actually Esther shares these words that I just read out of verse 11. Here Esther lays out the risk to Mordecai that she will face if she goes before the king without being summoned. Plainly put, even as the queen, if the king does not offer the golden scepter when she arrives, she could be put to death. Put to death. I need somebody to type in chat right now, big risk. Big risk. Listen, there's sometimes, and doing the right thing, you sometimes have to take a big risk. Sometimes it will risk something to you, but you have to take that risk because it's the right thing to do. Here, she was afraid. She wanted to step back. She said, listen, you don't understand what this man can do. You don't understand what can happen to me if I go before him and he does not summons me. It's a big risk that she was having to take, that Mordecai was asking of her to take. But then Mordecai puts things in perspective. Look with me at verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. In other words, don't think that just because you're in that palace and just because no one knows who you are truly are right now, that you can hide this for always. At some point, you can be and will be discovered and unveiled. And because this decree is in place, then you still could get dealt with. He said, don't get it twisted now. You need to wake up to what's really happening. And then he went on in verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Here, Mordecai, he wanted Esther to know that if you keep silent, not only may it's going to come back to bite you now. It's going to come back to bite you at some point. But also, now it may risk the entire family of Jews. It may risk everyone. It may risk you and your family name, your father's house could be destroyed. Now, this is interesting. Now, Mordecai said you and your father's house would perish or be destroyed. But the interesting part is, remember, her father and mother had long since passed away. She was an orphan. She was it was Mordecai who had to take her in. And as he took her in, he treated her as his own daughter. So when he's saying your father and everything attached to him, every lineage, he's speaking of himself and saying, listen, everything that's connected to you can die. Everything that's poured into you, the reason why you are who you are, everything of that, it can be extinguished in a moment if you sit back and you don't do anything. Now, he let her know that he was confident, though, that God would bring deliverance for the Jews and that it would arise from somewhere else. He said, God's going to deliver his people. He's going to move. It'll come from somewhere else. Mordecai's faith was enlarged to believe that God was going to deliver his people one way or another. But he wasn't afraid for himself. He said, listen, it's going to bring deliverance, but could it be that there's a reason why you're there, Esther? But then he said this, in fact, he said this to Esther. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for a time such as this? For times such as this, Mordecai presented to Queen Esther the stark reality that it could be that everything you have experienced, endured, and overcome has positioned you for this very moment. I need somebody to type in chat, all for this. All for this. He said, could it be everything you've gone through? You lost your parents when you were young. You had to be taken in by your cousin who had to raise you as his own. And you had to come and learn how to love again after losing everything so young. You had to learn how to trust God again. You had to learn how to go through this even while you were being dispersed and put away there from Babylon and all of that. You went through the captivity. And all that stuff you had to go through. And these things, he said, listen, could it be that you've gone through all of this stuff just for this very moment? Just for this very moment. Listen, I ask unto you right now, is it possible that with everything you have endured, that you have gone through has been to position you for this very time? Let me ask you again, could it be that everything that you have endured, that you have gone through, has been to position you for this very time? Listen, I understand you've gone through some stuff. You've endured some things. You've lost some things. You lost some relationships. You lost some loved ones. You've lost some possessions. You lost some stuff. Some of you even felt like you were losing your mind, but yet you came to a place where you found peace. You came to a place where finally things seem to be moving forward for you. Finally, things seem to be going in the direction that you always believed, and you finally have a place where you can rest and be at a peace of mind. But now that you're at this point, there's so something that is stirring up around you, and God is now tugging on your spirit. People are coming saying, listen, you need to speak about this. You got to help us with this. We need your help to lift up your hands, to put it up, and it's going to expose you. It's going to put you at risk, and you're sitting there saying, I'm good. I'm comfortable right here. I don't really want to do that right now. Listen, I've been through so much stuff. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've gone through. And they're saying, listen, could it be all of those things that you've gone through, everything you've experienced has been to prepare you. It's been to strengthen you. It's been to undergird you so you will be ready for this moment right here. It wasn't to put you on easy street, but it was to put you in a place where you would be strong, where you would be able to endure the hard as a good soldier, where you will be able to speak life and speak truth to power. Could it be that you've been strengthened for this moment so that you can help others that cannot help themselves, so you can lift up others that are too weak to lift themselves up? Could it be?
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing to you. If you're in the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to join us for our regularly scheduled services at Tabernacle of Worship. You will also be able to get this entire message. Please feel free to visit our website at www.taboworship.org. That's www.taboworship.org for more information.